Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Hope you're okay on March 13th. We've got lots of news to get through today, including a campaigner from Maidstone who says it's become far too easy for people with eating disorders to get hold of weight loss jabs.
Unless absolutely medically necessary, my personal opinion is people should not have access.
A leading expert has been asked to help with a project to tackle health inequalities in Kent.
If you were to take a car from Sevenoaks to somewhere like Swale, you'd see that the people living in Swale live 7 years less than the people living in Sevenoaks.
And tomorrow is game day for the Gills, who are hoping to avoid another defeat.
Obviously the disappointment, we understand that. We're part of that, we feel that as well. All we can do as a squad and team is to put that right on the training pitch and when we go back out Saturday.
All of that on the way, but first let's take a look at our top story for the day. A woman who died in a crash near the Sheppey Crossing has been described as a fiercely loyal and always smiling person. 33-year-old Amber Fenn died when her car collided with another vehicle on the A249 on January the 30th. Now, I've been speaking to reporter Joe Crossley, who's followed this story for the Kent Online podcast. Thanks so much for speaking with me today, Joe. First of all, can you give us some details about the crash?
The crash happened on January 30th, a Friday night, at around 11:20 p.m. when Amber was driving back from the island towards Medway and was on the Sittingbourne side of the Swale on the A249. She was driving a Kia Picanto and it collided with a BMW car. Emergency services were called, but Amber was declared dead at the scene. Three other people were injured in the crash, including a man and a woman who were taken to a London hospital and a second man who was taken to a local hospital. The two men have been discharged, while the woman remains in a serious but stable condition in hospital.
And we understand she was working as a carer for Jack Dolan. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, that's right. Amber was caring for Jack Dolan, who was from Chatham. He suffered a catastrophic brain injury in June 2024 after he jumped from Margate Stone Pier and was knocked unconscious. That was her last work. She'd also worked as a barmaid at the Bounty Pub in Strood, which she continued to visit with her friends and even meet up with her dad there, sort of for drinks. That pub would actually hold a memorial for her soon after her death.
An inquest has been opened into her death now, and what has the court heard?
Yes, again, you're right. An inquest has opened into her death at Kent and Medway Coroner's Court. That court has heard that there's no recorded cause of death for Amber yet, as investigations are still underway. Police are continuing to appeal for information about the crash. Anyone who was a witness or saw the vehicles before the collision should get in contact with Kent Police's Serious Collision Investigations Unit. You can find their details by clicking the article on Kent Online that we published today about Amber and the tributes to her.
Finally, Joe, can you tell us about the tributes?
Yes, so Amber's family, her dad and her mum, have paid tribute to Amber. They called her fiercely loyal and always smiling big sister. Her mum, Paula, who lives in Rochester, who Amber actually was living with at the time of her death, said that she went into shock when she was told by the police that her best friend had been killed in the crash. She said that they used to speak 3 or 4 times a day, and now that she's gone, she continues to try and ring her sometimes because there's things that she would love to tell her, but she realises that she can't talk to her anymore. She also says that her death has left a massive hole in everyone she knew's lives. Paula says that she was loved by her friends and loved her friends and family, as well as her 4 dogs, Harley, Callie, Misty and Tia, and was fiercely loyal to all of them. Meanwhile, her dad, Darren, who lives in Snodland, says that Amber will be missed by friends and family every single day. He said that she wasn't just his eldest daughter, but also his friend, and they would enjoy spending time with each other and lived their lives to the fullest. The pub that Amber used to work at, the Bounty, also paid tribute to her, saying that she was a beautiful young woman inside and out, and that she was the life and soul of the party, always smiling, always laughing, and always bringing light wherever she went. It held a memorial for her, as I mentioned earlier.
Thanks so much, Joe. You can read more about this story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. A woman's had to be pulled from her car after it caught a light in Larkfield. Crews were called to tackle the blaze on Newhythe Lane yesterday morning. No one was hurt. You can see pictures at Kent Online. Three men have been arrested following an alleged burglary in a village in Swale. Police were called to Upchurch in the early hours of Sunday morning after an alarm sounded at a store on the street. The suspect's Range Rover crashed into a wall as they tried to flee. Cigarettes, alcohol and cash were found inside. They'll appear in court next month. Multiple people have been arrested by police targeting suspected shoplifters in Canterbury. Among them was a 41-year-old woman who stole pet supplies and ice cream, and a man who's 30 who took more than £300 worth of goods from Primark and M&S. In total, more than 20 charges were laid. Police say they're committed to bringing suspects before the courts. Elsewhere, a man who stole £1,600 worth of clothes from a shop at Ashford Designer Outlet has been jailed. Jesse Barton was caught on CCTV shoplifting jumpers from the Tommy Hilfiger store earlier this month. The 37-year-old from Hampshire Drive in Maidstone has been locked up for 16 weeks. His arrest was part of a crackdown on shoplifting in Ashford, with police securing 15 charges against various offenders. Now, this all comes as police officers in Kent are set to lose part of an allowance they're given for working in the southeast. It's designed to combat the additional cost of living, but is being reduced by £250 from September. The Kent Police Federation is calling for a rethink amid concerns officers could quit because of financial struggles.
Kent Online News.
A leading health expert has been brought in by bosses in Kent to try and help tackle inequalities in the county. Research has found that people living in some towns on the coast have poorer health and a shorter life expectancy than those in neighbourhoods further inland. Kent County Council say dealing with the issue is one of their top priorities. Dr. Anjan Ghosh is Director of Public Health at KCC.
If you were to take a car from Sevenoaks to somewhere like Swale, you'd see that the people living in Swale live 7 years less than the people living in Sevenoaks. Similarly, if you see for Dover, it's about 5 to 6 years, and similarly in Folkestone Heights. So there's a very stark difference in specific town areas. In addition to that, the chances of getting long-term conditions such as heart illnesses, cardiovascular, lung diseases, and other diseases is much more on the Kent coast compared with other places. So these are unacceptable differences. Then if you look at things like unemployment as well, the number of people on benefits in working age in the coast are 50% higher than in the hinterland. So this is all pointing to something quite structural and radical that needs to be done along the coast in order to tackle this. And this is not easy. It's going to take time, but it needs to start somewhere, and that somewhere is now.
I was also able to speak to Professor Sir Michael Marmot, who's from the Institute of Health Equity.
You look at the global news and you just get depressed. It gets worse by the minute. And that's awful. And you could throw up your hands in despair and say there's nothing we can do. And health is a consequence. You know, if the cost of living goes up, people's health gets worse. And the cost of living goes up because of what's happening in the Gulf. And so it's all awful. What is absolutely inspiring is when people at local level say, we understand the conditions in which people live and work. We understand the reality of people's lives, and we want to take action at local level. Now, global and national action matters, of course it does, but our experience of people getting together at local level to say we are going to make a difference is really inspiring. So when Kent said we're going to be the first that actually deals with the disadvantage in our coastal regions compared with inland, you couldn't keep me away. I said, right, here I am. I came back from Paris yesterday, talking to the Paris Director of Public Health about what they might do. But here I am because I think this is such an important initiative.
And we can also hear now from Lyndon Kemp-Caron, who was the leader of Kent County Council.
It is a KCC priority. So when I became leader in May last year, I knew instantly that we needed to separate out coastal regeneration and make that part of one of my cabinet members' portfolios. Because clearly, as Andrean has just outlined, there's something going on in our coastal towns and villages. And as Kent County Council, we have the levers we can pull. You know, we can actually make structural changes in how we allocate funding, in how we support our voluntary sector, in how we work with our partners in the NHS, the police, you know, Kent Fire and Rescue, all our key partner agencies. If we can bring them all together, and of course that is key to Sir Michael Marmot's principles, we can make a real difference. It's not just up to us at Kent County Council. We can certainly lead this, and we are, but we need to bring our partners with us to make that real tangible difference to the people who need it most.
The health watchdog has lifted a safety notice for Kent and Medway Health NHS Trust following improvements. The Care Quality Commission says concerns have been addressed and no further enforcement action was needed. Inspectors found there have been stronger handovers, clearer record keeping and care planning was in place. More than 1,200 parents across Kent have signed an open letter calling for a ban on smartphones in schools. Weald of Kent Grammar have become the latest to confirm they're introducing a brick phone only policy along with all secondary schools in Tunbridge Wells. Campaigners are now sending the letter to MPs, council bosses and head teachers across the county. Now, figures have revealed a Kent MP earns more than £70,000 a year from other jobs on top of his salary as a Member of Parliament. Tom Tugendhat has declared almost £200,000 in outside interests since the start of last year, including more than £90,000 in foreign trips. He's the only MP in the county to have ongoing jobs, which isn't breaking any rules. Local Democracy reporter Dan Essen has been looking at how much extra income has been declared.
Of the almost £500,000 in total registered interest that Kent MPs had declared since from 2025 to now, start of 2025, that is, he accounted for the better part of 40%. He's declared 200 grand or thereabouts in registered interest. So we thought it was worth looking in more detail at what he in particular has been up to. So for the past week or so, I've been making a very big spreadsheet compiling his alone.
And interestingly, I mean, being an MP must be so incredibly busy, but he has other jobs and that's where an awful lot of this money has come from that he's declared. Is that right?
Yeah, of course. So there's MPs are allowed to take some second jobs as long as they don't get in the way of their regular work. And it's all regulated through this register of interests. He, you know, not every day of Parliament is a day where every single MP has to be there to vote. You'll often see pictures of the chamber empty. But yes, Tom Tugendhat does have, he's the only Kent MP with regular second jobs, which he engages in. So for a while now, he's been an advisor to an environmental company called Solnox. He's paid £8,750 per quarter for that. And he registers 10 hours a month of work. That equates to something like 291 quid an hour he's getting for that. And they've also flown him to Greece for an afternoon, I believe, for a meeting of the board of that company, which registered in the list in the register. And additionally, quite recently, he declared a job as an advisor to a Dubai-based think tank called the Observer Research Foundation Middle East, for which he is paid $50,000 American per year, which works out to about 3,000. 67 quid a month for that. So between two side jobs on top of his work as an MP, he gets about 71 grand a year. And then plus the MP salary of 93,000, I think it's going up to about 96. So essentially it's good work if you can get it. And I want to say there's no hint of impropriety here. It's all perfectly legitimate, perfectly legal, registered in the proper way. But it's politically important that people know it. And also, you know, the work on the side isn't even the whole thing. It's the almost more interesting, I think, is all the trips and paid for journeys and speaking engagements and that kind of thing, which is make up more than half of his register.
Yeah, he's been all over the place, hasn't he? He's been doing a lot of travelling. Tell us what you found out about that.
So since the start of 2025, by my reckoning, he has spent 64 days either away or travelling to places on paid for trips. The most common of these is the USA. He's been to America six times, a couple of times paid for by the Hudson Institute, which is a quite prominent neoconservative think tank. He's been speaking at their conferences and so on. A couple of times for university events hosted by sort of academic institutions, for private dinners, that kind of thing. So he's been to the USA quite a lot. A lot of the times in style, it seems as well. For one of them, the flight to New York alone was registered at a price of £15,000. which is obviously quite a lot, even for a flight. You can go to holiday on New York for a bit less than that. But he's also been on a lot of day trips to European countries, France, Turkey, Italy, for 1 or 2 days here or there. He's also been to Taiwan twice as well, once at the start of last year, once at the start of this year. Again, this is all perfectly legitimate. There's nothing wrong with this. He's registered them all in the proper way. But I think it's important that, it's pointed out he is first and foremost a member of Parliament for Tunbridge and a member of the National Legislature of Great Britain. But in the past 15 months or so, he spent 65 days travelling and basically doing getting sort of paid for travel around the world to engage in political and public activities elsewhere.
As you made very clear, Dan, absolutely nothing wrong with this. And all of the MPs could be doing exactly the same thing if they wanted to. Now, I know you've been trying to get in touch with Tom, haven't you? Have you heard from him?
No, which is unfortunate. I've asked 3 times for a response to this, because there are obvious criticisms which step forward from this kind of thing, which I think many members of the public, his voters, might share. They'd think, he is the member of Parliament for Tunbridge. Is he spending it? Is his time best spent engaging with Taiwanese politicians and American think tanks, or would it be representing his constituents in Parliament? But he hasn't responded at all to any requests for comment, which is a shame.
Hospital bosses have raised concerns about a mouldy flat in Maidstone that's home to a young boy being treated for an aggressive brain tumour. The 4-year-old was diagnosed in January and is being treated at King's College, who have written to Golding Home saying the 2-bed property on Wallace Avenue in Parkwood is also overcrowded. The Housing Association say the family's safety and well-being is their priority and they're exploring housing options.
Kent Online News.
The husband of a woman who died in a gas explosion of their bungalow in Charing has revealed he's rebuilding his life with their dog, who miraculously survived. Charlene Burville suffered extensive burns when the blast happened at the property in September 2024. John initially continued to live on the site, but is now relocated to Dymchurch with poodle terrier cross Teddy. An inquest heard a gas leak caused the explosion. A farmer in Ashford is welcoming a change in the law, which is aiming to reduce dog attacks on livestock. Police now have powers to use new technology to investigate and issue unlimited fines. Hugh Richards, who's part of the NFU's Region Board, says it's a huge victory and will make a real difference. As well as cows and sheep, the new law will also protect llamas and alpacas. Now, on the 30th anniversary of the Dunblane massacre, a former Kent head teacher has recalled how his school was turned into a control centre on the day of the tragedy. A gunman killed 16 children and their teacher at a primary school in the Scottish town before turning the gun on himself. Another 15 children and staff were injured. Gillian Shepherd was Education Secretary at the time and visiting Gravesend Grammar. Peter Reid, who was leading the school, has recalled the events of the day in a special report at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A Maidstone woman who suffered a mental health crisis after struggling with an eating disorder is calling for more restrictions around weight loss jabs. Shannon Travers Spencer was in her early 20s when she went missing for 2 days and was found by paramedics. She's now on a journey to recovery and says injections that can be bought online are dangerous for people with body image issues.
This is a topic I'm very passionate about, and it can get quite heated sometimes when I'm talking to people about it. But I just think it's such an unregulated drug, and there are just no strict rules and regulations on them. They are just so easy to get hold of. And I have spoken about this with my eating disorder team, but at one point at the beginning of last year, when I was really struggling, I tried to purchase weight loss drugs. And it was just, it unfortunately was so easy to do. And it wasn't until I got to the checkout point where I was like, what am I doing? And I'm glad I had that realization, because that could have caused a whole other heap of problems. But we are seeing it. And I think we're seeing it a lot in Hollywood again at the moment, unfortunately. And I just think it's just going to have effect, like a massive effect on, the next generation and things like that. It's just, yeah, unless absolutely medically necessary, my personal opinion is people should not have access to the GLP-1s, which is supposed to be the case, but it isn't. And it's really quite infuriating, because we're seeing the dynamics of eating disorders change as well with the introduction of these drugs.
She was speaking there to Lucy. Now, there are fears over a loss of medical services in a Kent village after a GP surgery was put on the market. High Park's Medical Centre confirmed the Higham branch would close last November. It's now up for sale with a price tag of £650,000. Residents say they're concerned about the impact specifically on vulnerable patients. Plans have been revealed to convert two old red phone boxes in Canterbury into a vending machine and arcade-style grabbing game. The listed structures near the Westgate Towers were recently bought at auction for £17,000. The new owner has applied to change their use, but a conservation group has criticised the idea, saying it would be cultural vandalism. People living near a new development in Capel of Ferns say their safety is being put at risk as a footpath that was promised hasn't been built. 16 homes are being constructed on land in Caldham Lane between Folkestone and Dover, and the walkway was part of the planning conditions. The local parish council has raised the issue with Dover District Council. We're now told additional consent for the path is needed from the county wide authority. KCC have told us a review is underway.
Kent Online News.
Figures released to mark the start of English Tourism Week show visitors to Kent spent around £1.9 billion. £558 million of that was on overnight stays in the county in 2024, while the rest came from day trips. However, data for the whole of the southeast shows a 7% drop in spend, with Visit England bosses urging policymakers to see the value in regional tourism. A Kent landmark has been named as one of the most beautiful places in the UK. Global travel site Big Seven Travel has come up with a list based on reader recommendations and pictures from travel photographers. The White Cliffs of Dover have been singled out as a symbol of English identity. And we're being encouraged to get involved in events across Kent as part of the Great British Spring Clean. It runs until March 29th and is the brainchild of Keep Britain Tidy. In Swale, volunteers will be cleaning up Garrison's Point Beach in Sheerness today, along with Thistle Hill Community Woodland.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a game against another promotion-chasing side for Gillingham this weekend. They're travelling to take on Cambridge United in League Two following a 5-1 defeat to MK Dons on Tuesday night. Here's striker Sam Vokes.
We're hurting as much as everyone else is, I'm sure. Fans out there. Obviously, the disappointment, we understand that. We're part of that. We feel that as well. All we can do as a squad and team is to put that right on the training pitch. And when we go back out Saturday, look, the beauty of football is we do get to go back out in 2 days' time. So there's only one way we can put things right, and that's doing it right on Saturday.
As one of the more kind of senior figures in the dressing room, is it important for you to have a cool, calm, composed head with messages that are thorough and precise rather than be down in the dumps and angry?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think that's my job and duty as a senior player, really, to do that and also manage those situations as well. But Tuesday night wasn't a nice situation for anyone really at the club. I don't think it was something we can accept really, a performance. But I will say there's a good group of people in there that want to put it right, and they want to put things right. We've gone through things off the pitch and on the training pitch this morning. So as I said before, the beautiful thing about football is we go against that.
You played at the very highest level, and I'm sure, like, we're going through at the moment a bit of a sticky patch. There's no secret to getting back online, but what are the key fundamentals that you've got to show now to kind of start getting the results that you desire?
Look, it could be a football cliche, but for us, we've got to go back to basics. We've got to go back to what we do well, what we do right, and what we know. There's a reason these boys are at this football club. It's because they're good players, but we need to show that. So we need to go back to basics and show what we're about. And look, what got us success at the start of the season was that. And we built a foundation there. We've got to get back to that somehow. After this point over the last couple of weeks, we've got to get back to that point, which I know this squad can get to.
And just finally, it's Cambridge on Saturday. They're flying high. They've got promotion aspirations. Is that the sort of game we need at the moment?
Yes, we need any game at the moment, I think, just to get back out there. As I say, it comes around quickly. As you said, Cambridge, it's going to be a tough test. They're flying high at the top of the table. But it's down to us just to concentrate on us, I think. They're doing what they're doing, and for us, we just go there. And yeah, like I say, get back to what I know we can achieve.
Cambridge United are currently third in the table and managed by former Gills boss Neil Harris. Staying with the Gills, defender Sam Gale has revealed he missed Tuesday night's game because he was in hospital. The 21-year-old posted on socials that he fell ill following last weekend's match and spent 2 days in ICU. He was one of 9 first-team players missing for the game against MK Dons, which the Gills lost 5-1. Now, speaking of that loss, the Gillingham Supporters Club has released a statement urging fans to stop using foul and abusive language at matches. It's after abuse had been directed at both management and the squad following recent poor results. The club say they're aware recent performances have not been up to standard, but the bad behaviour has a negative influence on the whole team. And in other football news, it's been confirmed Maidstone United's Mohamedou Fall has suffered a ruptured knee ligament. The striker was injured in their game against Western Supermare last week and has now been told he'll need surgery to repair his ACL. He'll be out for the rest of the season and into the 2026-27 campaign. Boss George Ellacobi says he's absolutely devastated. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.